Weekday Wake Up on the SVI Radio Network, and a pleasure once again to speak with Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. And Congresswoman Hageman, thank you so much for your time. A lot going on in Washington, D.C. right now.
It has been a very interesting week and an exciting one at that.
Well, of course, with the inauguration of President Trump, and so much has been happening since then, and with heading into the 119th Congress, a lot of items that we can discuss. I wanted to jump right into the Rock Springs RMP because that's been a huge concern for so many people, especially in southwest Wyoming and public lands and natural resources and energy production. And it sounds like with the new Trump administration, that's going to take a drastic turn.
Well, we sure hope so. I've been pushing back and fighting back against the Rock Springs RMP since it was first released in 2023. And although they made a few cosmetic changes to it for 2024 last August, it's still not good enough. They are still attempting to dramatically decrease our ability to use and manage these resources the way that we need to. So, yes, I will be introducing bills to block the Rock Springs RMP and the Buffalo RMP. We also will be working with the administration, the Department of Interior, to pull those back and dramatically revise them pursuant to the Federal Land Policy Management Act. So we're moving forward with making sure that those kinds of things are undone. Keep in mind, you know, the person who was running the BLM was Tracy Stone Manning. And there are very few people as radical as she is in terms of her radical environmentalism. As we all know, in the 1990s, she was involved with an organization that was spiking trees that would have or could have substantially injured our loggers. And they were doing that to try to prevent forest management. And that just gives you an idea of not only how radical she is, but how she has no common sense. You know, she's not a bright woman when it comes to resource management. We're seeing that out in California, what happens when you don't properly manage these resources. Yet that's what they advocate for. So we need to change these policies, and working with the Trump administration, I'm confident we will be able to do so.
Congresswoman Hageman, of course, wanted to bring up some of the executive orders that have been signed, but already into the 119th Congress. What are some of your goals, and what are you hoping to see accomplished in the Congress this year?
So there's a couple of things that we have already done. I've already introduced quite a few bills. The first one that I did was the First Amendment Restoration Act. And what that would do would be to allow people to sue federal employees who violate their First Amendment rights, their freedom of speech, to peaceably assemble, to petition the government for redress, and for the Free Exercise Clause, the freedom of religion. And the point of this is that under the Biden-Harris administration, we saw such an extreme effort to try to limit the reach of conservative voices. And you saw it through the Twitter files. You saw it through their effort to stop, you know, YouTube videos. They prevented us from communicating about COVID and the efficacy of the vaccines and the 2020 election and on and on and on. But we don't have a right of action against the individual employees that engage in that kind of behavior. A classic example recently was where, if you remember, FEMA admitted that they had instructed their employees not to go to any homes in a disaster area that had Trump signs out front. Well, that is a classic example of viewpoint discrimination, and it violates the First Amendment. Those homeowners under my bill would be able to sue those employees who gave that directive and carried out that directive. Why is that significant? Because I think that all you would have had to do is sue those people once or twice, and you would not see that kind of behavior again. So it's a good governance bill that will also protect our constitutional liberties. Some of the other things that we've done, we're focusing on the Coal Act, which would make it so that the Department of Interior must start issuing coal mining leases again. So I'm really heavily focused, obviously, on the natural resources in Wyoming, our energy industry, making sure that we're freeing it up so that we can have the kind of prosperity that will be unleashed when you drill, baby, drill, and mine, baby, mine. So I want to be a teammate, someone working very closely with this administration to fundamentally change the energy policy from the last 4 years and just really open up the prosperity, support the prosperity that will generate.
I wanted to lead right into that as my next question, the natural resources and energy production. And as you work with this new Trump administration, I'm assuming there's going to be some pretty drastic changes, not only in Wyoming, but across the whole nation when it comes to what we're doing with our energy production and natural resources. And that's going to have a big impact right in the Cowboy State.
Yes, it will. It will have an impact. But one of the things you may notice with my editorials and when I speak, I'm very clear about the fact that this is not only about the economic well-being of the state of Wyoming, but it's the country as a whole. And it also is even broader than that. A strong America makes for a safe world, and a weak America makes for a very unsafe and unstable world. And that's what you've seen over the last 4 years. And part of our strength relates to energy independence and our ability not only to produce energy domestically and use it domestically, but to be a net exporter. Right now, with what Biden did with his executive order banning exports of LNG, all that did was force European countries to buy more gas from Russia, thereby fueling the war effort that they're also funding Ukraine about. So they're funding both sides of the war when our energy policy is forcing countries, even our own, to give more money to Russia. And then we're giving almost $200 billion is what we've given to Ukraine so far. We're funding Ukraine, but we're also funding Russia, which just is nonsensical. It's just such an absurd concept. But that's what happened under Biden because they stopped domestic energy production. What happened in the Middle East on October 7th, 2023, that was funded by Iran. Iran has made $110 billion in the last 4 years on oil sales because the Biden administration lifted sanctions against Iran because, again, we refuse to produce energy domestically in the United States of America. All of these things are interconnected. And when you have an administration that either doesn't understand that or ignores it or advocates for it, you've got a real mess on your hands. So I am proud of what Wyoming does. I am proud of our energy production. I am proud of the fact that we produce coal and oil and gas, uranium. I am proud of what we do with our mining sector. We are going to be at the forefront of this simply because of the resources that we have. But boy, everybody benefits from it.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Of course, one of the big headlines this week have been the pardons. Of course, Donald Trump, President Trump, pardoning those involved in January 6th. You also have President Biden and his pardons on the flip side of his family, but also those involved in the committee on the January 6th on the other side, including former Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Wanted to get your overall thoughts on those pardons on both sides.
So I'll start with Biden. And the thing about his Bidens and the pardon for our friend Liz Cheney, the irony there is not lost on me. The irony is this. This is a woman who really destroyed over her career attempting to persecute people who've now been released, and she's the one who needed the pardon. I find that very ironic. Also, keep in mind, the Biden pardons were a cover-up. That's a cover-up. That is to cover up what these people know, what they did, and how it enriched the Biden family. On the one hand. The other hand was what they did with the 38 or so folks on death row, commuting those sentences to life in prison without even talking to the families is one of the more cruel things that I've ever observed. That is not justice, and it wasn't for Joe Biden to make that decision or whomever his handler is. We don't quite know that. From the standpoint of January 6th, I'll say a couple of things. One, those people have paid their price to the extent that they did something in the Capitol, did something inappropriate. They were tried and convicted for it, but they were also overcharged. They were charged unconstitutionally under a financial statute that had absolutely nothing to do with what happened on January 6th, which is ultimately what the Supreme Court held when they said that they were using a statute that had actually been passed for purposes of addressing what happened with Enron 25 years ago or 23 years ago. So again, it was a corrupt prosecution. But I also want to say one of the foundations of our form of government is the concept of equal protection. And when you look at what happened in Portland, where the Portland courthouse was under siege for, 6 weeks, the riots that were taking place there, Antifa, the destruction of property, the injuries, the 38 people who were killed during the 2020 riots, you look at all of that, and this administration did nothing to those people, and in fact entered into settlement agreements with them for anybody who was even lightly prosecuted. You look and you see that the difference in how the J6ers were treated and what happened with Portland. And what I would say is, if you're going to destroy a government and undermine a government, just start treating people differently based upon their political beliefs, and you will destroy your government faster than almost anything else you could do. So when I look at what Donald Trump did, Donald Trump is righting a wrong. What Joe Biden was doing was perpetuating corruption.
Congresswoman, one last question here for you. A lot of Wyoming residents very concerned about how the border has been handled and immigration, and then, of course, the executive order regarding birthright citizenship. How about we end with those?
I think that we've got to close our border. If you do not have a border, you do not have a country. There is no other country on planet Earth that is as generous and as compassionate as the United States is, or has as liberal immigration laws. And Biden and Harris even threw those out the window and said, we're not even going to bother following the law. When we have that kind of a generous situation, we're just going to let anybody who wants to walk in here come in here. We don't care if you're a murderer. We don't care if you're a rapist. We don't care if you're bringing 100 pounds of fentanyl to kill our young people. It didn't matter. It's been an absolute disaster. And I'm looking forward to getting operational control of the border, both through executive orders as well as actions of Congress, through reconciliation and other mechanisms. But it's time that we actually start enforcing our immigration law as it is written, that we close the border, and that we get some common sense back into this issue.
That's Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Congresswoman, always appreciate your time. Anything you'd like to mention here at the end?
No, I think we covered it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman on the Weekday Wake Up.